All right, call this meeting to order.
David Holman.
Present.
Andy Burke.
I am here.
Aaron Decker.
Here.
John Franco.
Here.
John Poole.
Here.
Michael Sklitsky. For Youth and Governance, Isabella Ricker.
She's absent.
Okay, and Aubriana Madke.
Here.
Yeah, but she sent you something, John.
Yeah, she's absent but excused.
Okay, thank you.
Chairperson comments? I have none. Supervisor comments?
You missed citizen comments.
Oh, citizen comments? Sorry.
This is your opportunity, guys. Do you have any citizen comments?
I'm just so used to just having one person here.
This is Aubrey's brother over here. What's your name?
Matt.
And then?
Rahid.
Right. They're both students at same high school you go to, I imagine, mm-hmm. which is, I forgot.
Indian Trails.
Indian Trails, that's right. And they're here because they're taking an AP government or a government honors course of some sort, and this is for credit, this course you're taking. They have to observe
I should ask
county governance in progress.
I should ask them who their county supervisor is, see if they know.
That's putting them on the spot. That isn't fair.
That's only extra credit.
That's extra credit, yeah. That's right, that's right. Don't worry, you don't have, unless you do know. We won't put you. Most people don't.
Any communications at all?
No.
Approval of the last minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I know you forgot
I
should.
The. I know. No, you want to let this, it's as it's coming out of my mouth, I realize, and I'm like, oh, well.
We will remind him.
Should I wave my hand?
Yeah.
Throw something, I'll get more attention. Yes. All right. We'll
maybe
go over
we
the
should let
now.
Our secretary do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me call
him. I know most of you. I'm Jennifer Kopp. I'm the first assistant court counsel with for Kenosha County. I have copies of the budget. Does anybody need one? Do you guys want to see one? Okay. Attorney Joe Cardamone couldn't be here today. He's at a seminar, actually, out of state. So he asked me to handle this, and I'm going to give kind of a brief overview of the budget, and then I can answer any questions that anyone has. The budget is relatively straightforward. I'll address some what's normal questions from last year, and I know what's come up in the past. Our office does have 6 full-time employees. However, if you look at what is on the second page of the budget, it talks about the breakdown, and it shows that I think we have 5.7 full-time employees. The only reason for that is both Emily and I do a lot of work for the claims committee, like for claims and insurance in WMIC. So a portion of our time is actually charged like a finance account. I think it's an insurance part of the budget. So that's where that money is accounted for. So we just have 6 full-time employees, but it shows up as 5.7. If you look, the first page is just a statement of what we do to give you a sense. But if you look at our main budget, I will keep this relatively brief. It's actually similar to what was submitted last year. It is actually going down, and I will explain why. In the past, if you look at legal fees, which is in the middle of the page, every year they've put $40,000 of legal fees into an account, and that money then rolls over. And I think there's approximately $215,000 $215,000 in that account, which we've determined and agreed that that's sufficient. So there's no need to keep putting, $40,000 in there. So they've taken that out for this year. Where we use outside legal fees is if there's ever like a complex case. I think the last time that we used a significant amount was the redistricting litigation where we got an outside firm involved to handle that. So even if something like that were to happen, and it hasn't happened in the last couple of years, $200,000 would be sufficient for that.
Is there any concern about the Jensen case coming back?
Mm-hmm. You know, if it does, it doesn't involve our office. Like, that's the DA's office.
Okay.
They've made some allegations that the county, you know, might have some liability, but we don't think there's any merit to those claims.
That's what I thought.
And even then, if we did, that would probably be covered by your insurance. So WMIC would probably provide coverage depending on what the nature of the claims were.
Okay.
So that would come out of that part of it.
Question real quick.
Yep.
Yeah. The numbers in the book are way different than what you've given us. On the wrong page or something, or because here it says 255,000.
She's on page 329.
Yeah, page 329.
Oh yeah, you're on the county board.
Oh, because it said legislator. Let me get to the right page.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to? I have an extra copy.
Yeah, maybe.
This might.
Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So 329 is what our proposed budget is. So the $40,000. Came out. I believe there's a slight increase just in adjusted annuals. I think that went up $500, which is just for normal inflation and cost of the books that we get. And then the other slight increase is with regards to salaries and retirement. So you see with our total expenses is about $25,000 less than last year, and that's because of the legal fees that have come out. And like I said, it's pretty straightforward. I don't really have anything else to explain. If anybody has any questions, I can try my best to answer them.
I just want to know, what's trial cost?
Trial costs, and good thing Emily's here because she's here. Usually that's the things that we file, like if we have to file a complaint, there's fees involved, deposition fees, witness fees, things like that is usually what that would come out of. So even though we're part of the county, if we file a complaint or an answer, we still have to pay all the filing fees that go along with it.
Okay. And the public liability insurance, what is that? Is that in every?
Is that just a spread to all?
I think it is.
Departments.
Okay.
I think it is.
And your joint services revenue?
Yep,
what is that?
It's stayed pretty much the same in the last couple of years. So we bill joint services for some time that we do, and that's pursuant to the intergovernmental agreement that we have with them. We don't charge a large rate just because we're not a revenue generating office, but we do charge for time that we spend if they ask us for a legal opinion. And the idea is that we want to at least bring in a minimum amount of revenue to show that we're doing that. I think we typically meet that amount quite easily.
Okay.
And it's strange. Joint services sometimes will ask us, and they will sometimes ask the city for legal opinions. I don't know if there's rhyme or reason to when they ask us or the city, but we keep track of the time that we spend answering questions for them.
Okay.
David? I have one question. I sat through Frank Fulton-Testa doing a number of these over the years.
Mm-hmm.
This was always a favorite question. What is the billable rate per hour were we to, in terms of...
Emily, what
for
is our
joint services?
No, I mean like for in terms of like corporation council, like generally, like
I can
on average, roughly, if you know.
I don't know. I can tell you that when I was in private practice, my billable hourly rate was about $300 an hour, but that's not what we charge joint services.
Right.
So
right.
I think we charge significantly less.
Joint services 100, but for over throughout the county, I'm not sure of that amount.
And we don't charge. I mean,
yeah,
we don't
charge
for outside
like,
legal.
If you were, just the equivalent number, just so that we have an idea of the value we're giving. That was always why they asked that question.
Yeah, right. It depends.
Do you account for that? Like Supervisor Holman asked, when you have to, for insurance and things like that, when, we get...
We would, like in a case where, like civil rights case, let's say if we were to prevail on that and you would get your attorney's fees,
yes,
that's when it would come into play.
Okay.
So, hey, how are you? Good. I can give you this is a copy of
carry on.
The budget. It was relatively straightforward. To summarize, it's going down about $25,000 because we're not putting money in for outside legal fees because we've got funds sufficient in there. They've done $40,000. Every year it carries over. $1,000 in there, which we think is sufficient, so that's not going in there. There is a $500 increase for books and manuals, and then just salaries. Okay, so it's a decrease of about $25,000.
Go ahead.
I noticed the legal fees, the line you were just speaking of, we budgeted in 2007, the adopted budget is 40,000, and then the adopted and modified is 215, and the projected is 215. Is that because you're adding them all to carry over?
I think it carries over every year.
Okay.
That's what I was told. So there's been an amount that gets carried over each year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they put in $40,000, I think, last year, and then there's a zero reflected for this year.
Make a motion to approve.
I was going to let Supervisor Sklitsky.
It's okay.
Okay.
Second that.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Any discussion? Motion to pass the.
Was there a second?
There was a second.
Oh, no, okay. I didn't hear it. Sorry.
Sorry.
Just wanted to make sure we're legal here.
And by the way, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll ask.
Yeah, we were waiting. I was about to say.
Youth and Governance?
Yes.
County Board? Ready?
Yes.
Say aye.
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 All opposed? It passes.
Everyone will be happy to hear that I didn't get any positions eliminated.
Oh, we could do that?
Too late.
You want to know what?
Well, we can make a motion to reconsider.
His.
I'll text him. I'll be like, well, there's good news and bad news.
And if you want to,
just what Joe wants to hear.
This next is the resolution.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What did you say?
The next up is resolution. I'm just
sounds good.
Letting Jennifer catch up for a second. This was a resolution that was requested by WCA at the convention for us to do. It's being done by a lot of the counties here in Wisconsin, from what I understand, dealing with the opioid crisis. Jennifer, go ahead if you want to.
Sure. I can fill you in on kind of what I know about it, the status of it. Joe was doing a lot of sort of the early legwork, so I've spent the last couple of days kind of catching up in it. So is everyone familiar, at least sort of with the general idea of what's going on? I don't know if you guys got information. I printed out something that was, I thought, helpful, just in the packet of stuff that I reviewed today. So just to save it. So essentially, Von Breesen is a local law firm in Milwaukee, and they contacted WCA to sort of discuss whether or not counties would want to be involved in some potential litigation. What they're doing is they are planning to file a lawsuit against four of the manufacturers of opioids, Purdue Pharma. There's some other ones that are named as well. And they're trying to get all the counties to sign on and to be a part of the litigation. The claims, essentially, what they're talking about making is that these pharmaceutical companies, what they've done in recent years, these are the allegations, is that they've engaged in deceptive marketing, and they've sort of misrepresented what opioids could do. So they said that the studies, this is, again, just the allegations, don't know the truth of it, although they have some evidence to support it, is that they knew that they were only supposed to be intended for short-term use, and that's what the FDA essentially approved. What they did is engage, allegedly, in an aggressive marketing campaign to sort of target, you know, doctors, hospitals, and they said that it was valid for long-term use. And they sort of underplayed or underscored the potential side effects, and, you know, the addictive qualities and all of these things that happened. So what they approached the WCA with is essentially starting a lawsuit and getting counties and to sign on to it and to be the plaintiffs in this case and to go after the big pharmaceutical companies. There's been a lot of activity going on in the country, a number of these types of lawsuits filed. I was doing some research on it today just because, again, I was catching up. And it looks like there's been a fair amount of criminal prosecution involved with the big pharmaceutical companies. Like, I think I pulled one article where they pled guilty and they agreed to pay $60 million in fines, or $600 million, I think it might have been. And it was things like they falsified data, they falsified charts, they paid doctors to say that there were no, you know, bad side effects on it. And so they ended up, like I said, pleading guilty. The pharmaceutical companies have made a lot of money. It said in 2012, pharma made $8 billion Purdue made $3.1 billion just from the sale of OxyContin. And what they're saying is because of this, the county governments have had to pay the price, increased healthcare costs, addiction treatment costs, social costs, programming, training, education, criminal justice. They kind of walk through some of that even in this paper about what the allegations are. They're prepared to file a lawsuit, or they want to gather the information to file a lawsuit, making a number of claims. Like I said, it's under the Deceptive Trade Act in Wisconsin. They're going to prove the damages or the extra costs that we'd have to pay, you know, above and beyond. They're saying it was a direct fraud. What they've asked is for us to essentially sign an engagement letter, just saying that Von Breezen and this national law firm are going to represent the county in this litigation along with other counties. My sense, there's been a lot of chatter on this. I'm not going to tell you that everybody is gung-ho, thinks this is a great idea. I can tell you more about that. I think most people are signing off, and I can tell you the reasons why. There's really no downside to it, is what we're being told. They're saying that they're very much mirroring this after the tobacco litigation and sort of following that same pattern. And in that case, I think the states are the ones that collected a lot of, you know, the revenue for the costs. And they're taking the case on a contingent fee basis, which means that the only way that we pay anything is if there's a settlement that comes into play. So we don't pay any costs, we don't pay any like direct fees. The cost, the expense is going to be in gathering information, like once they try to quantify the damages. I mean, what did we pay in extra programs? You know, how many extra people were incarcerated? And so to quantify that, there'll have to be some costs involved just from personnel time. But what they're saying is they have local law firms involved that are going to assist, they're going to make people available, they're going to try to make it as easy as possible as they can. They said, you know, basically they're trying to organize it now and they want to file a lawsuit. The fear is that the state might do it first, and that might preempt, you know, the claims that the counties would have if they settle and resolve this case, then it might prevent us from being in a position to do anything about it. Like I said, there's been a lot of discussion. It seems like on the Corp Counsel website, you know, people questioning, are we going to be able to quantify damages? How are we going to be able to prove direct cost? How are we going to be able to do these types of things? And, you know, the national firm that's involved seems pretty confident that they know what they're doing, and they're going to be able to show that we paid costs above and beyond what we needed to pay for taxpayers. Or, you know, it's just in general and providing services from the taxpayers, excuse me. There was some conversations about, you know, could we get hit with any type of counterclaim? Like if we claim that they engaged in false, deceptive trade practices, could they come back and say that we're, you know, ruining their reputation, or we don't have, you know, enough proof for that? And they said, not with what's going on in the general landscape. When you see the criminal liability that's coming down, what they're paying in damages. I mean, like I said, what I read today is they're pretty much admitting, we knew this wasn't for long-term use. We falsified the data. We submitted false charts in some cases. We buried the information. They misconstrued what the FDA said, and they're pleading guilty criminally. Some of these executives, you know, are to these types of things. So they think that there's merit. They think it's a strong case. What they said repeatedly is, you know, the only risk is we don't get involved, and then you don't get to sign. If there is a settlement, you know, you're out because you're not part of it. From what I look at, like I said, there's an engagement letter which just says that we're giving them the authority to sort of do this investigation and represent the county. We can get out at any time without incurring like any types of damages. You know, we're not signed on forever. If we don't like how it's going, it's too much cost, you can not join, or you can at that point terminate the representation. No upfront cost. It's not a class action lawsuit, which is what I think initially the thought was, is, oh, we're filing this as a class. What they said it's going to be is really each county is going to have their own independent claim, so they owe a duty to every county. So the counties that were impacted more would get more of any potential settlement. That's, you know, what they're saying. So I think, like I said, I don't know how they're going to be able to quantify the damages. I mean, that's what I wonder when you talk about how are you going to prove what extra costs, fees, services, jail, you know, to me that's a question mark. What are they actually going to be able to prove? But that's, you know, Von Breezen and the national law firm feel like they know what they're doing and they can prove it, and they think there'll be a settlement at some point. And again, when I participated in a conference call, and there was a lot of discussion on the tobacco litigation, and they seem to be drawing a lot of parallels, and I don't know the details, you know, of that. Like, I don't know how they proved it or how they got the settlement, but there seemed to be a lot of discussion that it would, was like that, for what that's worth. So, like I said, there's been some skepticism on, you know, how much will these companies fight? Will we, you know, be able to do it? Will it get kicked out? There was some question about whether or not counties have standing to sue. And Von Breezen and this law firm, Kruger Dickinson, you know, they feel very strongly that they've vetted these claims, that they think they can make a strong case, and they want to proceed. So they're asking us to sign on, like, to agree to let them represent the county in this matter.
Go ahead. Did you have something?
I think it's a good idea. I just hope that if there is a settlement, we don't do what the state of Wisconsin did and securitize it, because they actually lost the money when they did that. I think it's worthwhile. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
How many counties have already signed on? Do you know?
At the time of the conference call, which was about 2 weeks ago, I think there was like four or five. And they were most of the northern counties, like the smaller ones. I know today, like it said, Oneida County signed on. It sounded like Door County. There's lots of discussion, and there hasn't been like a poll. It sounds to me like most of them are willing to explore it. I haven't heard anybody definitively say they're not doing it. Like I said, it's sort of the fear is you don't, and then they, you know, you're precluded from recovering something. And I was trying to get a sense for like how many counties. It looked like more were favorable. Like I said, I haven't seen anybody definitively say they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a lot of them are just having the discussion now as well.
Is the WCA encouraging this or saying that we should
do
this?
Yes, I believe the WCA is encouraging it.
Absolutely.
I believe there was a seminar and they talked to us as a whole on this thing.
Mm-hmm. It was almost like a commercial.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, and
I was going to say infomercial, but yeah.
Yeah. There was, and then, David? Yeah, there was some sort of, you know, discussion. I think a lot of the corporations, what I saw on the e-list that we had was some people were upset, you know, that it was almost like it was being pitched to the clients without going through the legal departments first. And, you know, Andy Phillips, we've worked with him on a number of different things. He's very good at what he does. And, you know, he sort of tried to make amends by saying, I tried going through the WCA. I tried to get him to distribute it. You guys should have known about this before, you know, we went with it. But they've been very responsive, made themselves very available to answer questions, you know, to anybody that has them. And there's been a lot of discussion about it.
I think of this a lot like mortgage foreclosure situation back in 2008-09. They were able to calculate then what the cost was to local governments and the loss in surrounding property value, somewhere around the neighborhood of $20,000 per home when that occurred. So certainly there are ways of calculating this out. I mean, we know who died from what, we know what hospital admissions are, we can balance that against the average rate of drug use across the population. There's certainly ways that we can do this. This is good. Thank you.
So how many drug companies do they think they can bankrupt through this thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I will say that they're going after four. I don't think the intent is, you know, to bankrupt them. I think, like I said, from what I was reading, it looks like I said, in 1 year, I think one of them made, you know, what was it, 10? This was the, in 2012, Pharma made $8 billion in that year alone.
That was on OxyContin.
And it was Purdue made $3.1 billion just from the sale of OxyContin in 2012.
Yeah.
And this criminal case where they pled guilty, they paid $600 million. So, and that was a while ago, but it was in Virginia. I was surprised, like I said, reading the cases and what's going on in that context, that there wasn't, I mean, there must be smoking gun documents. Like, there must be some emails. There must be something, because they're not defending it. You know, they're pleading. They're saying they made these admissions saying, we did this, we did this, we did this, which surprised me, because you would think you want one to make those admissions in any type of public court, because now it's just opened up the floodgates for this type of litigation. So I think, like I said, so the list of sort of what I've sort of assembled, you know, it wasn't me, but what people put together in their corp counsel group, you know, the unknowns, like the pros is you can recover funds. There's not a cost to the county with regards to having to pay any fees, even if it's not successful. The attorneys, this national firm and this Von Breezen are going to do the labor and more. We can drop out at any time. you want to do it before the state preempts it. The unknowns is how much staff time are we talking about, you know, when they start making requests for information and asking for documents, and, you know, how difficult is that going to be? So that would be something to monitor, I would say. Potential amount of recovery is unknown. How long it will take, how they're going to, you know, divide up any settlements, like how are they going to determine what counties were more significantly impacted? Those would get the larger share of any settlement. I also think it's unrealistic to think that, you know, they won't put up a good defense and try to get the case dismissed on whatever reason they could. You know, we're not the proper party, it should be the state. It's, I mean, they'll put up a defense, I would think, in a civil case. There is a chance that there might be multi-district litigation, which means if a lot of these are filed around the, you know, the states, they might consolidate it.
You mean states plural?
States, yeah. Okay. At least that's my understanding of what they said. So then they might combine it. It might be a multi-district case. You still have your each independent case, but then somebody else is kind of in control. And then they coordinate discovery and how things are done, and it's done more as a whole, which I could see happening if a lot of these cases get filed. And what happens if the state gets involved? I mean, that was sort of the other question. If the state gets involved, are we going to be in a position where we're fighting counties versus states, and that doesn't help anybody?
Interesting.
Good. So as you started talking about this, first mm-hmm. thing that struck my mind was exactly what you said. This is tobacco all over again.
That was my sense.
And that is, okay, subsidize the growing, tax the sale, and then turn around and use those funds to punish private industry. In the case of opioids, and I work in the pharmaceutical industry, bringing a new drug, and I'm not saying that these are new drugs to market, many times over $1 billion in cost. And most mm-hmm. of the lay people do not realize this. They love to vilify pharmaceutical industry, but based on the hurdles, requirements, clinical testing, and data that's required from our friends at the what? FDA. And these are legal drugs, which means our friends at the FDA authorized their sale. Mm-hmm. Yet, everybody sitting in this room right now, we have enough common sense to realize, gee, opioids and long-term exposure, that's probably not a good thing for my future, is it? Mm-hmm. But then we sit and try and act as though it's the pharma companies that are shoving it down the general public's throats, when in all reality, there's many layers of this, over prescription. And certainly if there is, I would call it criminal activity of falsifying documents, encouraging or incentivizing distribution, if you would, mm-hmm. through bribery or many layers in that, certainly that's something. Mm-hmm. My concern with this is we have a system in place that the government has at a higher level essentially blessed, mm-hmm. and yet now stands silent.
Yeah.
Where is the FDA on this? Why haven't they restricted the distribution and sale of this? They haven't done anything. And you're absolutely right. We're absorbing this. That then spills into the heroin problem, which is even yeah. worse, right? Yeah. Because here you can at least turn it off. Mm-hmm. On the heroin side, which is exactly where people end up going, mm-hmm. You're talking in the black right. market and criminal activities, and it's a little bit more difficult. So although I am all for bad behavior, criminal activity, being punished and held account for, I'm not on board with signing on to a national law firm that, quite frankly, I know exactly what they're going after, because they're going to get one-third of the proceeds. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, will they be successful at it? Hard to say. Let's be honest, tobacco has not gone away, right? They've paid out a lot of money, but the product is still in demand. What happened to all those funds, I can't speak of. I would hope that they're going for a treatment or a relief of those that, but then again, that was an over-the-counter product that people chose to participate with, and yet we're going to punish the companies that provide it. And again, common sense tells you, gee, smoke in my lungs is not a good thing, because when you do it, you usually cough until you've done it for many years, right? So I look at this the same way. I'm not saying that there isn't some nefarious activities with the in the pharma industry or in the opioid, but you talk about a self-regulated industry that if you get out of line, many times you can be literally shut down very, very quickly, And also then that aura of bad perceptions by the general public can crucify you very quickly. Mm-hmm. And you're right, are they making money on it? Yeah. Costs a lot of money to put drugs onto the marketplace. And many of them people call for. And there are cases where these opioids they're just generally overprescribed. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, oh, I cut my hand, right? Mm-hmm. And the physician prescribed like 15, I think it was Oxycontin or whatever it was. If I took one, or maybe it was Vicodin, if I took one, that was it, and flushed the rest. I was like, why are you, I don't need 15. So there's, I don't know why that portion of it continues. That's really where the spigot needs to be turned off. So long story short, I'm not in support of signing on as the county. If the state feels as though it's something that they want to pursue, it's great. But I think that at the federal level, I would love to see some proactive activity by our friends at the FDA who make these companies go through hoops and prove that these products do certain things, then grant the approval, and then stay silent when it becomes an epidemic.
Yeah.
But just my own perspective.
And I think, and just so clear, like I said, and I'm just trying to tell you, you know, what's going on with the lawsuit and the litigation and what, you know, what the claims are, so don't, you know, misconstrue what I'm saying. Yeah. Is, you know, pharmaceutical companies are bad, because that's not my intent either. I will tell you just a couple things, that the law firm, I think they're, the three law firms that are involved are splitting 25% of the fees, so they're splitting that three ways. The FDA, from what I can tell, and again, I had those same questions about, well, wasn't this FDA approved? And what I was able to sort of gather from my doing my own research today is it looks like, you know, the FDA had made some statement like that it was, what they told them was that, you know, it was believed to reduce the potential to be observed. And then what the allegation is they took the FDA's, what the FDA said they could say, and they ran with it, and they said there are no negative side effects, there are no long-term consequences, you know, there, you can do all this kind of stuff. I think that the federal DOJ, like, I think that there has been changes that are being, and I don't know the specifics.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
You know, but I think that there's been a great deal of criminal and civil, you know, investigations and things going on, and that's why when we had the conference call, what they were saying is they really, they're not going to be able to sort of come back and say we have no basis for our claims, because they're getting hit, and they're getting hit big time by the, you know, the feds, and the FDA wasn't one that they said, but other agencies have been all over them saying that they, you know, what they did was essentially they went farther than what the FDA said they could. I don't know why the FDA let it go on for as long as they did. And I had that same question. We were talking about it, you know, today. So,
question: the FDA approves drugs, mm-hmm. but it, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't regulate the use or the commercial speech in terms of the advertising of the drug. That's paid for by the company. And so even if the FDA did approve it, mm-hmm. the requisite company, the pharmaceutical company, could still commit fraud very clearly by, in commercial speech is highly regulated. Mm-hmm. And so even if the FDA did approve it, it could still, you know, you know, fraud could still very well be the problem. And if they're already admitting guilt, that, you know.
They're getting hit, yeah, like with, I think, federal legal claims and criminal cases and all types of suits across the country is what they've been saying. The stuff that I read, like I said, just in the material, and again, it's being given to us from, you know, the law firms, is, though, that it was things like they poured money into articles, they put on continuing education credits, you know, to doctors saying that this was safe when it wasn't. They falsified, you know, medical charts. They paid doctors to give opinions, you know, things like that. So what they're saying was they committed a fraud, it was misrepresentation, and that it, in some cases, was criminal, at least in some states.
Yeah. No, I agree with the question, where is the FDA on this? I do. You know, these are the folks that are supposed to be doing the research, making sure that, well, at least it functions in a certain way, and to pay attention to that. You know, this is a committee where we can bring forward that question. Our congressman is the speaker. That's not, you know, insignificant, so we can probably get a decent answer. And maybe if we do it right, we can do the rest of the country a favor and move a little further on this. If somebody wants to do that, I'm game.
Yeah.
I'm really serious about that. I didn't know there was that much passion in this room on that issue, but if you really want to do it, we can do it.
Specifically, what are you referring to?
We'll do the FDA and say, you know, clean this up.
Well, there was a, for anyone who saw 60 Minutes this last week, they did most of the show on the opioid epidemic. In fact, the drug czar that President Trump was going to...
Prescription or heroin or both?
Prescriptions.
Okay.
He was going to name, we came from the pharmaceutical company, and his name was Representative Tom Marino. This today said he does not want the position. So if you get a chance, I'm going to send it out. Is
for the drug czar.
The drug czar and everything dealing with the FDA. It was a good 40-minute presentation that was done by 60 Minutes.
Well, I was at the WCA conference, and the general session talked about it, and there were a few things that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It did seem to me like a commercial, five on reason to get everyone to sign on, and it was just like, why are we being presented this at a conference? That was kind of the first thing that popped in my head. Another thing that seemed to pop in my head was it was just kind of people... The people listening, the county boards, other county board supervisors there from across the state, all they saw was dollar signs. You know, it was like, oh, look at all this money that could be our windfall to come to the county, you know, to come to our county. It wasn't really let's try to solve the epidemic. It was more like, ooh, we just, you know, can make all this money off the drug manufacturers, which... Yes, it seems like, according to what you've presented, they have been, you know, engaged in fraudulent activity and are partially responsible, possibly based on if they're pushing doctors to prescribe it and misrepresenting the long-term effects and things like that. I don't think they're the only ones to blame. I mean, my daughter, when she was 12, she had her appendix removed. She was prescribed opioids. A 12-year-old should not be prescribed opioids. At any point, because that's what feeds into this epidemic that we have. Most of the people that are addicted to heroin started off on painkillers. I mean, when it affects people like Rush Limbaugh, who was taking, 40 pills a day, how many years ago, and you're still having this problem, it affects all peoples. Unlike the tobacco settlement... Now, when they talked about the tobacco settlement and they said the counties didn't get any money and the state got it, the state, they, you know, administer the Medicaid program, which is who pays for a lot of the costs associated with lung cancer and things like that. So to me, that was understandable that they got the money where the county not necessarily spends a lot of money because you're not arresting people for smoking cigarettes and things like that necessarily. But when the state got all that money, the state of Wisconsin, and they used that tobacco money to plug budget deficits instead of actually using it for tobacco awareness or to, you know, trying to reduce tobacco usage or things like that, that upsets everyone, I think, just about, that the tobacco money was used not the way it was supposed to. I worry that if the counties get this money, that they'll just use it not to combat the opioid epidemic. So I personally would like to see, if we do pass this resolution, a follow-up resolution stating that where we would spend the money on it to show that we're not just using this as a windfall to supplement our budget like the state did, but that we would actually use it to combat the opioid epidemic. There was one other thing that I can't... Oh, they said that they believe the counties have standing, and if the state files a suit before us, that means that the county couldn't file a suit?
The way they explained it is they said that they do think we have standing because under the Deceptive Trade Practices Act, we would be a person because it's any person that was harmed, and counties could be a person. They said that if the state files a suit or settles this or doesn't, it doesn't make our claim go away. But what could happen is if they reach some type of settlement or resolution, then essentially we're out of luck, because then we could have, should have been made a party. Like, you can't go back and essentially take two kicks, you know, at the apple cart kind of thing. So if they do and they make a global settlement of all claims, then an argument could be made that we should have been a part of it, weren't a part of it, and then that's up to whether or not the state wants to sort of keep us in the loop with what they're doing. They said the state had been very quiet. The WCA, Andy Phillips, was saying they were trying to get a read on what they were going to do, and they couldn't say with any certainty. So what does that mean? Are they interested, not interested? They don't know. But they said it wouldn't make our claim go away, but a possible settlement or resolution would impact our ability to recover anything.
Okay. And if... So, and they might not have even talked about this, because when we give them information about the costs associated with it to show that it has affected us, some of those costs come, or some of the money comes from the state
right.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing, I mean, if we get money mm-hmm. because of those costs, wouldn't the state expect or request money back?
They could.
Okay.
I mean, I think they could. That's possible. And I think, like I said, I think they're trying to keep it very specific. Like, they talk about, you know, the what the county would look at. They would say, like, you know, county-funded health care, like, what costs have we had to pay for employees or people that we, you know, insure that have opioid problems? It would be jail expenses, court systems. Like, it looks like they were maybe trying to quantify, you know, what programs like Narcan and things have the county expended. So my guess is they would try to keep it tailored to only county expenses,
okay.
probably to stop something like that from happening. But they didn't talk about it in detail. But the types of damages they were listing were very county-specific. County programs, you know, health department, county.
Nothing,
you know,
that's a pass-through kind of thing.
Right.
Okay.
At least
okay.
that's what they said in the conference call.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think this is about solutions. I think this is about restitution. What you do with, you know, whatever settlement may come after that is up to you. I mean, if you want to get specific about somewhere in terms of that would actually combat the problem, I'm in a work group right now here locally that's looking at utilizing the arts to combat youth drug use and violence, because it's shown to be extraordinarily effective. I think there's some underlying fundamentals to this crisis too, coming out of the recession. People maybe have jobs, but not necessarily the ones that they want. So, I mean, there have been a number of things coming out of that are negative that we're experiencing as a result of. I think the opioid crisis is a piece of that. It doubles your bang for the buck when you do that in arts programs, because then it's not just drug use and violence, but then it's also this added dimension of hope. I can become something. I can be more than what I am. So I mean, if you want to get specific, that's where I'd aim to really get a serious solution, particularly on the West End. I mean, I think in terms of beefing up whatever presence is there and cultivating more of an arts presence is a great idea.
And with regards to if there were any settlement, then that's, you know, who knows what would happen. The county, each specific county would have to approve it. So it's, they can't, the lawyers would not be able to make a global settlement. That each county would have to agree to the portions and all of that as well. So at some point, if and when it gets to that point, we would have to be in a position to say, okay, we agree.
To settle. Okay.
So how many counties are there in the United States? I'm assuming every county in the United States would be involved in this?
This one is just Wisconsin.
This is just Wisconsin,
right,
okay.
And they're trying to file it in Wisconsin to stay in Wisconsin. How many counties are in Wisconsin?
72.
Well, 71.
72 if you count Menominee.
We have a merger in progress that's actually dropping to 71.
Okay.
If that ever gets through.
Yeah.
We heard that in our last committee meeting.
There's approximately 3,000 counties.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
3,069, 68 because of the merger in Wisconsin.
Decision.
Okay, so this is Wisconsin only.
This is Wisconsin, but what they said was there's at least litigation going on in 8 to 10 states. I think they have it listed.
Well, the Supervisor Decker said, you know, this reminds me of the tobacco settlement. And down when I worked in Illinois and I saw, you know, the tobacco funds, it was just, okay, we're going to use this to plug this part of our budget and, you know, throw it against this, throw against that, and just, you know, total waste. So I hope that this doesn't turn into something like that and just...
Well, we would have an option. The county would have a chance. We would have to decide how the money is used, assuming we get the
right.
money, right? So ultimately, we would have a decision based on that and where it should go.
Yeah, if it even got, you know, if it got
even
that
even
far.
Got to that mm-hmm. point.
Like I said, right now where it is, you know, they're asking to essentially sign the engagement letter to give them permission to start doing the investigation, represent the county, and then, like I said, this would be my sense is the very first step in a long road. Like I said, with the chance of any potential settlement, I understand the claims, I see the arguments. Whether or not they'll be able to quantify it and recover, I don't know. The downside, do I see a downside? Putting aside perceptions and, you know, what people are going to say about the national law firms going after the money. We don't pay anything. We can get out if we don't like it. And the risk would be they go ahead without us and we're the only county that doesn't sign on, which I don't think will happen because I haven't, you know, not all of them have chimed in. But again, the ones that have said we're in. So.
Any other questions at all? Okay, go ahead.
There are two things I threw out there, so I'm kind of curious. I mean, do we want to do that? Do we want to address something concerning the FDA after we do a little bit of research? Do we want to talk about a direction where a settlement could possibly be directed? I mean, those are two things I heard,
well,
so I'm just asking.
I was speaking more broadly, not specifically, but when I said, like, directing just that it's towards, you know, a reduction,
mm-hmm.
not just plugging budget or anywhere
mm-hmm.
that it, mm-hmm. just that it's programming, but not
right,
specific.
Right. But we can, I mean,
yeah.
we can decide that ahead of time.
That's going to be years away.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily, I mean, specifics, yes, but, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be years away. If we pass this resolution, we can say, hey, if we win, you know, if we are awarded a settlement, we do not want to be plugging, you know, we want to use this to combat the opioid epidemic.
Frankly, I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That makes sense.
You know, that we're not just, I mean, some people can construe that this,
yeah.
like when I was at the WCA, that it's all about the Benjamins, but showing that, you know, we actually would use this money to combat the epidemic. It shows that, yes, we are interested in the money, but we will use it to actually try to stop the problem.
I think it's worth proceeding on this, frankly. I'd like to see this go to the floor and see what the whole county says on it. I'll support it.
I make a motion to approve.
Okay. Second. I hear a motion for a second. Any further discussion?
So what does the resolution, I guess, and you've answered it to an extent, commit us to versus?
Yep. The resolution is...
If you had to kind of just boil it down.
Yeah. The resolution at this point gives us the authority to sign the engagement letter, and that we'll cooperate with the law firm at this point in putting together a claim. Right. And then the engagement letter is attached, so it sets up, you know, the fees and the duty and all of that kind of stuff. So at this point, it's we authorize Von Breesen and Kruger Dickinson to represent the county in this action. Like, they're going to be our attorneys on this in this matter. They'll start doing their assessment.
Okay.
Which would include filing a lawsuit if they determine, you know, that there's enough documentation to support it for Kenosha County.
And if we want to, long ways down the road, there's some type of a judgment and award. When does that, should that be a part of this? Because I'm kind of hearing that should be almost part of this resolution, or it's a follow-up resolution, or it's an amendment to this.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like, okay, mm-hmm. we're on board. If there's an award,
mm-hmm.
it generally just would go in the general fund right now.
Yeah. Well, I think, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to misspeak. My sense is if there was a settlement, it would come to the county. We would have to bring it forward with a resolution at that point, because it's not going to be budgeted. Like, there's no way to account for it. We wouldn't know what
right.
we're getting, anything like that. So I would think at that time would be when you authorize, you know, to accept the money, because you'd have to approve it at that point, would be to clarify that we will accept it, you know, on the condition that it is only being used. You know, then you could specify what you want to do with it. That would be my sense. Because right now, this is just the engagement letter. We're going to start doing it. Who knows what's going to happen, even if there will be any type of award or settlement. But if there is, my thought is it would have to come back, you know, before the county to approve the settlement and the money that we'd accept.
We have to accept grant funds, yep, and make a...
Right, because there'd be a monetary impact to the budget at that point.
So does our resolution, and maybe it's because of the letter of engagement, mm-hmm, or we don't need another resolution then if there is an award to that we would come back before us. That's part, kind of a part parcel of the engagement letter, the whole...
I think so.
Package.
Yes. I mean, like I said, my opinion would be this is just the engagement letter, but there would have to be a separate resolution to accept any fund settlement monies coming before this committee and the county board at that time, because the chances of whether or not there's going to be one is sort of unknown. You know, will it go anywhere? Will it be dismissed? This is just the standard engagement letter to let the law firm represent us. So it's not really talking about specifics and awards. The engagement letter talks just about dividing it up by counties, you know, and impact, that it's not a class action suit or anything like that. But it doesn't talk about specific what money would we get or what are we going to do with it. It's just a very general engagement letter.
And I'll only obviously speak, yep, for myself, but the intent of the resolution, I certainly understand. What I wrestle with is government going after free enterprise in a somewhat punitive manner, and I know that was brought up, recognizing that this is not a new problem, it's been around for a long time, and we see very little action from other more powerful entities, and maybe our only recourse is a settlement along those lines. But I'm torn because I see both sides. I mean, I see the good it potentially can do, but also see the damage that it can potentially do too. And I appreciate you bringing forth the resolution. Thank you.
There is a motion on the floor. Any further discussion on it?
Just a quick question. Once we get the phone call from the law firms, that triggers us to start tracking the hours that we're putting towards the research. What could we be told about that? Like when that starts, and
yeah,
you know, like every 2 months, get an update of, you know, how many man hours we're putting into it and whatnot.
Yeah, and I don't know when it's going to start. You know, I think, like I said, right now, I think they're trying to wait to see how many counties and, you know, things are going to sign on, and then I think they're going to do their own due diligence. But a sense for, yeah, what are the requests? Are they too voluminous? What documents are they asking for? I mean, if there's, like I said, they weren't able to quantify it. I don't have a sense for what they're going to need or what they're going to ask for. I will tell you that they said that they're willing to provide as much assistance as needed. So they have their own, you know, these national law firms have their own staff that's going to come in and help pull, you know, whatever. So it's difficult to assess how much impact there will be. And I don't know when it will get going. Usually lawsuits like this will take years and years and years,
sure,
to play out.
We should probably rope in Human Services and Judiciary and Law on that too. Give us a really full picture of exactly, you know, what's going on. I don't know if we send them a letter or I just tell them how you want to handle that.
Well, that will be part of the full board. So.
Well, I mean, in terms of like the whole tracking and, you know, the details.
Yeah, they would have to be, okay. I mean, they have to be notified, right?
All right. Motion on the floor. Anything else? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Yeah.
Was that?
No.
No.
Okay. There's two. Okay. So it passes. Okay. Anything else from the committee this evening? None. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so moved.
Second.
All in favor, say by saying aye.
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 Opposed? We're adjourned.
Turn. 5-1. Interesting.